Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah. We'll read this morning from the 5th chapter of Isaiah, beginning at verse 1 and reading down to verse 7. It's found on page 621 of your pew Bible, so let us listen to God's word for us this morning. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waster, a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. Our epistle reading this morning will come from the book of the Hebrews. We'll be reading from chapter 11 through chapter 12, verse 2, and it is found on page 1099 of your Bible. So, again, let us listen to God's word for us. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 12 of the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from, which is on page 952. Again, let us listen to God's word for us. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2, 2 against 3, they will be divided. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it is going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Word of the Lord. Amen. I had to say this morning that the Jesus that we meet today in our passage from the Gospel of Luke is certainly not the Jesus that we might sometimes be used to. He's not Jesus meek and mild. He is not the sweet little Jesus of popular piety with the lamb curled gently around his shoulders. No, the Jesus we meet today is a Jesus who is on fire. He's a Jesus who is all fired up. What he says. Don't think that I have come to bring peace, Jesus says, but I have come to bring division. When I was mulling over these words a few days ago, I said to myself, Jesus, is that you? Jesus, you're supposed to be the Prince of Peace, not division. We already have enough division, and we already have people who are expert at dividing us. Can't we all just get along? But again, Jesus reminds us that he came to bring fire. I came to bring fire. Don't think that I came to bring peace, but I came to set the whole world ablaze. Of course, the fire that Jesus came to bring us is the fire of his passion. Jesus had this passion for the kingdom of God. He was consumed with a deep and abiding passion for God's justice. And I imagine that Jesus could have lived, if he wanted to, a nice, quiet, little, peaceful life in Bethlehem or in Nazareth or wherever he chose to live. He could have chosen to be a person who had no drama, experienced no drama, but he didn't do any of that. He couldn't do that because he had this fire deep down inside of him. He had a passion for the ways of God. He was constantly creating a stir, constantly shaking things up, constantly filling people with the vision of the kingdom of God. In other words, he was constantly disturbing the peace, disturbing the nice little arrangements that people had come to accept. And Jesus himself says that's what he came to do. He came to bring fire. He came to bring division. His presence would bring conflict. Jesus discovered that early on in Luke's gospel. You'll remember the first sermon he gives at his hometown church. He reminds them that God's love for their enemies is as great as God's love for them, and it caused a stir. The people were angry with him. And so Jesus knew right off that his presence would be one that would be like fire. It would be one that caused division and conflict. Maybe that's the reason for the Lord's disposition here this morning in our passage. Maybe there were people who were close to Jesus who thought that maybe we should tamp things down just a little bit, Jesus. Maybe they thought Jesus was being a little too fiery, a little too controversial, a little too confrontational. No need to create unnecessary conflict with the religious authorities. Maybe we should just be a little nicer. But Jesus says, don't think that I came to bring peace. That's not what I came to do. I came to bring division. I came to bring fire. I came to set the world ablaze with the passion of the kingdom of God. And I came to kindle that same fire in your hearts as well. Thought about this passion, this fire for God. I wonder sometimes if we, as God's people, have lost that fire. If we have lost that passion for the kingdom. Our own lectionary readings this summer have included passages from the Old Testament prophets, and the prophets were not always concerned with being cordial and nice. In fact, they were experts at disturbing the peace. And that's what they did. And they did that for the same reason that Jesus did. They had inside of them this deep fire, this passion for God's justice to be realized in the world. But their presence always created conflict and division. The prophet Amos was told to go prophesy somewhere else. You don't like it here, you can leave. Go prophesy somewhere else. Make your bread somewhere else. The prophet Elijah was called a troubler of Israel. That's what the people in positions of power called him. You troubler of Israel. What do you want now? But none of them were people who were afraid to disturb the peace, because they were on fire for God. They had this passion for the justice and the kingdom of God. One of the observations that I've made about many of us church folk today is that we, by and large, are nice. Aren't you guys nice? You nice? Some of you said that a bit hesitantly. But we are, you know, we are nice. We are not necessarily people who like conflict, especially us Presbyterians. In fact, that's one of the things that attracted me to the Presbyterian church almost 30 years ago. Presbyterians are really nice. I remember in seminary making controversial statements and expecting a fight, and people would come up afterwards and say, you know, thanks for that. Thank you for that comment. I never considered that from that perspective before. Thank you for your comments. And I would say to myself, that was nice. Of course, Presbyterians know how to fight. They'll get you another way. Presbyterians are nice. And that's why I've always tried to be that way myself, tried to carry myself in that way, to be nice, to be cordial, to be civil, because everything is more peaceful that way. And the older I get, the more I've come to appreciate peace. The older I get, the more I don't look forward to any drama. Just want peace. Don't want any unnecessary conflict. Peace. Peace in the family. Peace on the job. Peace at church. Peace of mind. That's what many of us want. Just a little bit of peace. The problem is that we can be so desirous of peace, so desirous of a lack of conflict, that we're willing to overlook things that shouldn't be overlooked. We're willing to accept things that shouldn't be acceptable, willing to ignore things that shouldn't be ignored. I was reading a while back about a family that, in order to maintain the peace of the family, failed to talk about the abuse that was going on inside of the family. No one wanted to rock the boat. No one wanted to say anything. It was important simply to keep the peace. And so terrible abuses went unmentioned and unnoticed. That's true sometimes in the church as well. Sometimes that's what we want in the church. We want peace. We don't want anyone to say anything or do anything which might cause some conflict. I was talking to an acquaintance of mine a couple of weeks ago, and he belongs to one of these big steeple churches, you know, big steeple church, lots of people. They have several pastors on staff, about six pastors on staff. And he was telling me about one of the pastors, a relatively young pastor, just got out of seminary, but she was preaching the other day, and no one told her that the most important thing was to maintain the peace. And so she gave a sermon where she identified some problems that were extant in our society. And my friend was telling me that he thought it was, you know, a wonderful sermon, but that it ruffled some people's feathers. And one of the longtime pillars of the church said that if he was going to stick around, then he didn't want to hear sermons like that again. And so I thought about that poor little seminarian getting out of seminary and preaching her first sermon and learning that what matters sometimes is not truth or even God's justice, but what matters is keeping the peace. But Jesus says, don't think that I've come to bring peace. Don't think that I've come to do that. I've come to disturb the peace, because the peace that you desire is always a false peace. I didn't come to bring you peace. I came to bring fire. I've come to fire you up with the passion for the ways of God. In the book of Hebrews that we read this morning, we're reminded of that great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, people of strong faith who didn't necessarily realize the peace that we sometimes desire. Some of them were beaten. Some of them were ignored. Some of them were sawed in two. They experienced all kinds of hardship and suffering, but they were filled with this deep desire, this deep passion for the kingdom of God, for the ways of God in the world. And so because of their faith, they chose truthfulness and God's justice over any sense of peace for themselves. And I thought about some of the Christians down through history who have always exhibited that same faithfulness. People who were willing to stir things up, people who were willing to disturb the peace, people who were willing to put their own lives on the line so that they could be faithful witnesses to the glory of God. My friend and mentor has just completed a book that he co-authored with another person that will be published next month. But it's a biography of the 19th century civil rights leader Ida B. Wells, who was a powerful Christian woman, a woman imbued with the strong sense of her Christian faith. And I imagine, like many people, she could have simply remained silent. She could have lived a nice little simple life, at least as simple as society would have had it for a young African-American woman in the 19th century. But instead, she decided that she would be a person of truth, that she would be a person who was willing to disturb the peace in order to bring God's justice to bear in the world. And that's what she did. She was a major fixture on the front of women's rights, women learning or gaining the right to vote. But she was also a tireless advocate against lynching, which was a form of violence that was very popular during the 19th century. She had three of her friends lynched, and so that left a deep impression upon her, and she decided that she would put her life on the line, that she would never again be satisfied with simply being silent. But she would fight for God's justice and for God's truth in the world. Of course, she was threatened. She was humiliated. She was ran out of town. She was told never again to disturb the peace. But at every moment, she continued to be faithful to her sense of the kingdom of God, that in God's kingdom, everyone is equal. Everyone is loved. Everyone is someone that has dignity and worth. And so she continued her life being a tireless advocate of rights for everyone. Another woman who came to my attention this week was a woman by the name of Elizabeth Smiths. Her name might not sound familiar to you, but she lived in Germany in 1935. She was a teacher in Germany in 1935. Unlike some of her contemporaries, people that we've heard of like Martin Niemöller or Dietrich Bonhoeffer, she was a person who from the very beginning began to show concern for Jews who were being maligned in Germany. Some of her better known contemporaries would, in the beginning, accept what was going on in the name of a revitalized Germany. And many Christians didn't see anything that was wrong with what was going on. In fact, many Christians in Germany applauded Hitler. They thought he was a good moral person, a person who didn't drink, who didn't smoke, who didn't womanize, and so they saw nothing wrong until they saw something wrong. But it was people like Elizabeth Smiths who from the very beginning called out his inhumanity. And of course, she was maligned, she was ignored, she was mistreated for being a disturber of the peace. But she had this fire, this passion deep down inside of her, this passion for the kingdom of God, this passion to tell the truth, this passion for God's justice. And that's what Jesus says in our text. Jesus says, I didn't come to bring you peace. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring fire. I came to bring division. I came to shake things up. I came to set you aflame with the passion for God's kingdom. Of course, Jesus doesn't tell any of us this because he wants us to go out and be obnoxious. He's not telling us this because he wants us to go out and be troublemakers, but he's reminding us that any time we are people who are set aflame with a passion for the kingdom of God, we're going to invite resistance. We're going to invite conflict. There's going to be division. But the biggest division is not division that we experience between people in our families. It's not just a division that we might experience between people on our jobs or the division that we might experience between our fellow citizens. But the biggest division is the division of our own hearts. That's where the real conflict lies. It's a division between that part of ourselves that wants to hold on to the world That part of ourselves who wants the world the way that it is. That part of ourselves who wants to remain comfortable. That part of ourselves who don't want to risk anything. That part of ourselves who wants peace more than anything else, if it's just peace of mind. That part of ourselves who wants to know that the basics are taken care of. We just want peace. Jesus. But also that part of ourselves that Jesus speaks to. That part of ourselves that hears the justice and the glory of God. That part of ourselves that is reminded of the vision of the kingdom, of what God's kingdom is like. And it knows that when we are called to follow Jesus, we are called to die. We are called to put our lives on the line for the sake of his justice, for the sake of his love, for the sake of his mercy. Jesus reminds us that that is what he has come to call us to. A conflict inside of ourselves. I was reading something by one of my favorite bloggers, Debbie Thomas, and she wondered, when is the last time she said that my faith has called me to be divided? When's the last time has my faith caused me to take a deep look at myself and my commitments? What do I really want? Am I willing to put my life at risk? Am I willing to do everything to be a witness for the kingdom of God? Or am I more interested in my own comfort, my own sense of peace? And perhaps that's something that we might all ask ourselves, especially those of us who are pastors. What do we really called to do? Are we called to bear witness to the kingdom of God? Or are we more concerned with the desire for peace? Jesus called us to be truth tellers. He called us to be people who were not afraid to put our lives on the line. He called us to be people of faith, just as those heroes of faith that we read about in the book of the Hebrews, just as the prophets were people of faith. He called us to be people who have a burning desire for the kingdom of God, a burning desire for God's justice in the world. I wish we as Christians had that burning desire for God's justice. I wish we as Christians would continue to be people who are set on fire, just like the early church was set on fire when they received the Holy Spirit. What if we had this burning desire to make God's kingdom known to the people in the world, whatever it might cost us? What if we as a community, in everything that we did, shined a light on what it means to be the kingdom of God in everything that we do, whether it's a community day, whether it's working with children, whether it's reaching out to our neighbors. What if in everything that we did, we were less concerned about our comfort, less concerned about our happiness, less concerned about our own sense of being, and more concerned about bearing witness to the kingdom of God? What if that was the message today that people took from those of us who follow Jesus? And instead of being people who are divided along the fault lines of the world, that we were people who were willing to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so that we might realize what it really means to have peace. A peace that comes from tearing down the walls that divide us from one another. A peace that comes from having ourselves torn down, from having our desires stripped away. A peace that passes all understanding, because it is a peace that comes from God's great love for each and every one of us, and for whom we are called to show one another and the world in return. That's the peace that Jesus came to bring us. And not the peace that we sometimes want to hold on to. Nope, says Jesus, I didn't come to bring peace as you want it, peace as you know it. I didn't come for any of that. I didn't come for your own sense of inner peace, for your own sense of well-being, for your own comfort. I came to bring fire. I came to bring division. I came to bring conflict. I came to fire you up so that the world might see through you what it means to be people of peace, people of love, people of mercy, people of justice, people who belong to me. Let us pray. Gracious God, we're reminded that you have called us to be your people, but you never said that that would be easy. We know that sometimes we are so preoccupied with our own sense of well-being that we neglect to be people of truth, that we neglect to be people of justice, that we neglect to be people who bear your glory in the world. We ask that you help us to be strong people of faith, people who put their faith in you, because we know that whatever might befall us, that the world is in your hands, that the future is in your hands, your future of justice, your future of love, your future of peace, your kingdom is at hand. And so we ask, Lord, that you give us the courage and the desire to begin to live into that kingdom right now. Help us, Lord, to be on fire for you. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.